These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Welcome back to Kashi Tapes, to the podcast that I do, John Euler, along with the mighty Favaz.
Hello, U-Man.
Yeah, we're the morning show team on the Kashi Morning Rock Show. And today's interview is one that I did back in 1984 with Trevor Rabin of Yes. And he had joined Yes back in the early 80s and helped transform the band into what it was in the 70s, into what it became in the 80s, which was a mega superstar,
huge
successful
band,
album.
Huge band. Yes. Yeah. 90125. He wrote, I would love to see if he wrote all the songs or co-wrote all the songs on that. I mean, he was just amazing.
Yeah, he was. He was definitely a major player in putting together that version of Yes. So let's get into the interview. It's now we've had Trevor Rabin on the show before. You interviewed him. He was a solo artist at that time.
Yeah. I mean, well, he was with Anderson. What was that band called?
Anderson.
Wakeman and Rabin. ARW. It was Anderson, Rabin, and Wakeman.
Yeah.
And I interviewed him at the in the basement of the Fox Theater, and it was a thrill to meet him at that time. You know, I mean, he's a very smart guy, and he wrote a lot of soundtracks and things like that, and it was great to interview him then. And this one was, like I said, right after, you know, 90125 came out. It should be really interesting to hear him talk about Yes.
Yeah, let's see what he has to say. There we go.
As I promised, on the phone with me all the way from Chicago.
Oh, and this was live on the air. Mm-hmm. This was recorded live on the air at the time.
Illinois is Trevor Rabin of Yes. Trevor, how are things going so far on this tour?
Great, John. We've had a real good time. The show's really getting together, and the band's enjoying it.
Sorry for the loud buzz in there. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? It's an old tape.
It's on reel to reel.
It's on reel to reel, yeah.
There's been a great response, and the audiences have been great, so we're having a good time.
Okay, first, for those of us who followed your solo career a bit, as a solo artist, you played most of the instruments on your solo LPs.
Yeah.
Were you into producing at that time on a heavy basis? I mean, is that all you wanted to do? Because that's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, I was producing a lot at the time. I produced Manfred Mann's Chance album, and within a year, Wild Horses album, and an Al McCullough album, who's like a funky black singer, and plus my album. So I was doing a lot of recording. I recorded, you know, so I was doing like kind of four albums a year. And one of them was mine, and the rest was producing. I also played on all the albums I produced. So this was quite a departure from doing that.
Boy, that buzz is...
That buzz.
If I wouldn't have said anything, maybe we wouldn't have noticed it.
Oh, I think we would have noticed it.
Sorry about that, folks, but you can still hear him.
So it's gone away while we talk.
Yeah. We'll talk every once in a while just to give you a break from the buzz.
All right, here we go.
Now concentrating solely on one project over a long period of time.
So the early part of your career, you were more into producing LPs and the technical end of music than you were, say, being a rock star.
Well, in a way, yes. Although, you know, obviously my priority was to do my own albums and to get those right. The producing thing was just, you know, I like working a lot.
And as a solo artist, we did play Trevor Rabin's solo music. He's got a few Kashi classics that way, just as himself.
What's that one that I absolutely
Finding
love?
Finding Me a Way Back Home.
Yeah, that one. But didn't he have another one, too?
Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, Trevor Rabin. Now.
Love that song.
Yeah,
love
that's
that.
Good.
Yep. You know, when you're approached by a project which is so interesting, like, what, you know, Manfred's, for example, it's hard to turn things like that down.
And like what went, for example?
I was looking up when 90125 came out. It came out right before this interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
Approached by a project which is so interesting, like, what, you know, Manfred's, for example, it's hard to turn things like that.
Manfred?
I don't know.
Down.
And yet you had nothing to do with the production of the Yes album, 90125. Trevor Horn was the producer.
Well, yeah, he was a producer, but the reason we got a producer in was because I'm a producer, and Chris has produced a couple of things, and we thought rather than do the production internally in the band, get a producer in more as an arbitrator, although Trevor Horn, you know, contributed a lot of pretty nice things to the album, but we sort of did it all together.
Trevor Rabin of Yes is my guest here in KC95. And Trevor, being a new member of Yes, were you always a fan of the band in the 70s and early 80s?
Good question.
Good question. And
pause from the buzz.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
I don't know.
I always listened to the band. I always liked what they were doing. Not all of it, but most of it. I thought, you know, they were innovative.
Some of it was shit.
Not all of it.
Yes.
Yes.
They've been very creative, and they always led the sheep.
How did you become a part of Yes?
Well, I didn't actually. It was quite a slow thing. We've been together now for about 2 years. Well, Chris, myself, Tony Kaye, and Alan have been together for about 2 years. We started off just with the four of us, and I was going to sing, and Chris was going to sing, and we were going to call the band Cinema, and we actually went into the studio with Trevor Horn.
Cinnamon.
Right. Cinema.
Oh, Cinema, that's right.
You remember this story?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, Cinema.
And then John Anderson came in, and they were like, well, we got to call it Yes.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
With that in mind.
And they put out an album.
Cinema
put
yes.
out an album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd written a whole load of songs which were going to go on a solo album. And those are the songs which, you know, they were available. So we just rehearsed all those songs, and that's basically what went on the album. And about 3 months before the end of the album, Chris and I had a talk, and Trevor Horn, and we decided it might be a nice idea to get John to come in and guest on a couple of songs.
John Anderson.
Yeah. And he came in, and it really sounded good, so we invited him to join the band, and he was really into it. And the only thing which changed was hearing his voice on the stuff made it sound so obviously like Yes that it would have been stupid to call it anything else. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the kind of thing where I got a call, do you want to come and join Yes? You know, it happened over quite a long period of time.
Interesting. Great explanation of how Yes...
We heard it directly from him.
Yeah, reformed to go on that great run in the mid to late 1980s. I checked. Trevor Rabin gets credit for writing every song on the album.
Does he?
A part of, as with others.
He co-wrote. Good.
Yeah. And it happened in the reverse way that we might think it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes fans, of course, like the long songs of the band in the mid-70s and late 70s. And as a matter of fact, Yes, if any band was more stereotyped for a band that put out long songs, it was Yes. And that was very appealing to Yes fans. Now, here in the 80s, you don't see that happening very often. So how were you able to get that compromise together, the music of Yes of the 70s and the music of Yes of the 80s, in order to achieve the sound you have today?
Very deep question.
Wow, you really thought these out.
Very deep. Well prepared.
Wow, gosh, yes, you are super.
And again, relief from the buzz. Okay, let's get back to it.
Well, I think one of the fundamental things which we all had in common was that we definitely wanted to do something new and, you know, not to sort of rely on what, you know, the band had done in the past. And one of the things that interested me about the band initially was I also used to do a lot of movie scores, and because, you know, I'm a conductor as well and arranger, and I used to do a lot of movie scores with big orchestras, and I thought, well, it might be a nice idea to, you know, to go a little left field with a band like this if they're into doing something new, and you know, use technology, but with, you know, in the right sort of arrangement format. And so we all had the same sort of thing in common, to use the most modern equipment possible and get the most bizarre sounds and arrange things slightly differently.
In a condensed package.
Yeah, yeah.
4-minute songs.
Well, exactly. And, you know, to get away from the 9-minute songs, although there is one on the album, mostly the songs are pretty concise and, as you say, compact.
I was going to say, there are a couple that do have some length to them. Changes is 6 minutes and 16 seconds, something like
very
that.
Very good, you man. Very good, you knew that.
What?
You knew Changes was 6 minutes and 16 seconds. That's what I have on here, so you knew that back in 1984.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Well, I had to have the album in my hands, probably.
Here's another one that's fairly long, Hearts, 734. Let's see if you mention that.
No, I don't think we do.
You don't?
Yeah, right.
Okay, are you at all surprised with the success of Yes?
Well, I am surprised in a way, because I remember actually before I even joined the band, taking Owner of a Lonely Heart, which I wrote a couple of years back, taking it into the record company I was going to be signing to, we won't mention any names, and the guy saying, well, you know, this one, we shouldn't put this on the album, it wouldn't happen, you know, it's, doesn't sound like a hit to me. And we did the song, and it went to number one, so I always thought it was a strong contender for a single, but, you know, obviously it's a great surprise when, you know, when a record goes to number one, especially as it's everyone's first number one.
Trevor Rabin of Yes is my guest. We're going to play a song and then come back.
Did you hear that? He said, especially when it's everyone's first number one. So that song,
Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Owner of a Lonely Heart was the first number one song for Yes ever,
yes.
Period.
Period.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more to Trevor about the LP, 90125, and about the tour, which is in, I guess you're about in the middle of the tour, are you not?
Well, no, we're actually... 1 week into it, so it's we're not tired yet. We're rearing to go.
Okay, very good. The song is Owner of a Lonely Heart from 90125. Yes, on KC Radio.
Oh, there's music in this.
Okay.
Pause.
Well, maybe not the whole song, though.
Yeah.
KC 95, St. Louis's best rock, and you just heard from Yes in the song Owner of a Lonely Heart. Trevor Rabin of Yes is on the phone with me.
Hey, the buzz calmed down.
Hey, what did you do?
I don't know.
Kick it?
I don't know.
We've been talking with Trevor for about 10 minutes or so. We're going to continue our conversation in 60 seconds.
Well, my weekends just got shorter.
This is KC 95, and as I mentioned, on the phone with me from Chicago, Illinois, is Trevor Rabin of Yes, the newest member of the...
There's the buzz.
Yeah, there it is. Back. It's coming back. It's gone hit. That means it's on his end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, Trevor, we were talking off the air about your solo LPs, if I can revert back to those here quickly, and you were mentioning how the tip sheets in the trade magazines always showed St. Louis as a city that was into your music, as KC is a station that played your music all the time, and I told you that we still have the albums in the studio here, and you said you don't even have copies of them.
Yeah, what happens is, you know, people come around and they want an album, and you know, I'm just constantly giving out albums, and I think I have about three albums out of all the albums I've done. So I don't have any of my solo records at home, so maybe when I come to the radio station, I can borrow them.
You're a kind-hearted man. You gave them all away. Okay, on the 90125 LP, the new Yes album, you have a hand in writing every song.
Yeah. Well, as I said,
we told you that already.
You answered your own question.
Said, John, what happened was when we first got together, I had written tons. I have a studio at home, and I'd finished writing dozens of songs, which I was going to use on a solo project.
Right.
Can you imagine just sitting around writing dozens of songs? Amazing.
He wrote a number one. He doesn't even know at that time.
Yeah. You know? Well, the one song that's on the next album, Love Will Find a Way, he wrote and wanted to give it to Stevie Nicks. He wrote it with her in mind.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great song,
too. Yeah, and the guys in the band said, no, this is too good of a song. Don't give it to her. And good thing they didn't.
Yeah.
And when Chris approached me, the songs we got into were largely, you know, from that catalog. So a lot of them were used, and, you know, that's where all the songs came mm-hmm. from.
Now, the start of your tour, of the Yes tour, was delayed a bit. Why was that?
Well, the delay happened because I went to Miami for
because I got this strange disease called COVID. COVID-19.
No, that was back in 1984. If anything, you got an STD.
And my doctor said that I was going to be okay, but it would come back in 2020. Mm. No.
5 days before starting rehearsals, we were supposed to rehearse for 3 to 4 weeks. And I was in the swimming pool in Miami, and someone came down the slide, a lady came down the slide in the swimming pool, feet first into my stomach.
Ouch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I was in hospital for a couple of weeks. I had surgery, and I had my spleen removed.
Holy cow.
Did you know that?
Uh-uh.
I didn't know any of this.
She came down the sliding board, slammed into his stomach, and he had to have his spleen removed.
Oh, my. Wow.
So that laid the tour back a while. It also cut down rehearsal time from 3 weeks to 1 week, which was actually, I like that, you know, I like the pressure of that. It means we got to get on with it.
And you're not going to have an opening act on the tour, so it's all yes when people come to see you Sunday night at Kiel Auditorium.
Yeah. Well, what happened was we were thinking of an opening act, but because of the way the stage has been designed, it really would have been impossible to do, to have a support band, although we would have liked one.
We had a
wonder what that design could have been. Why couldn't
Did you see this them on this tour?
I don't remember.
Oh.
I don't remember, but I was a Yes fan, so I probably went.
Hmm.
I don't know. I remember. I think I did see them in this version of Yes. I don't know if it was on this particular tour or what.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I saw him in the original version of Yes back in the 70s.
Right.
Story here that Berlin was a bit upset about that. Has that all been taken care of?
I think so. I heard they were upset, and, you know, they do what they do real well, and, you know, it's just unfortunate that it happened. But
so Berlin was the band that was going to open?
Was the band, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a support act, and it's going down a storm everywhere we go. What we've done is we've got incredibly... good soundtrack with extremely sharp picture on Bugs Bunny, and we've got like the best Bugs Bunny shorts that we could find, and so it's like
they were playing those during the before the concert, or something. Or in between the opening act. No opening act.
No
rock Bugs Bunny. You know.
Oh my gosh, you're talking to a Bugs Bunny freak.
Yeah, we love it. Actually, I try and hide
Did
out.
Did you like Bugs Bunny?
I love
John.
Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny.
I like Bugs.
Yeah,
too.
He was awesome. He's a wise guy, but. He was smart.
Yeah.
He outsmarted everybody.
Mel LeBlanc and those voices that he did were just spot on.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
Yeah, you said LeBlanc, right?
LeBlanc?
No, I thought it was Mel Blanc.
Oh, Mel Blanc.
Just Mel Blanc.
I was thinking of LeBlanc, the guy from Friends.
Yes, that's right.
Your favorite TV show.
Yeah, and it was a singing duo, LeBlanc and somebody else, too, back in the days.
Right.
Yeah.
The auditorium's so nice to watch it. It's just amazing, and the response is incredible.
So this weekend, I'll get to see him on Saturday morning and Sunday night at the Yes concert.
Exactly.
Incredible.
It's going down as well as the...
I guess I went.
Very good. Bugs has always been cool.
Yeah.
Trevor, I thank you for calling KC Radio, and when you come in town, if you have some time to stop by... Feel free to do so. I know you're busy, but if it does happen, feel free. Thank you for the call, and good luck to you.
Well, thanks, John, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone in St. Louis.
Very good. This song is Changes Now from 90125. Yes, on KC Radio.
All right, there you go. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Especially that whole story about how the tour got delayed.
I had no idea. Feet first.
Yeah, never heard of that before.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons why we dig these old interviews up. You find out some things that you totally forgot about.
I love the timing of that one because that was done right after 90125 came out, and it was their first time in that configuration coming to St. Louis. It was great.
Yeah. All right, on Twitter, you can follow me. I'm STLU Man on Twitter. And on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
And just follow me.
All right, that's it.
AMF.
See you later. Bye.
The KC Tapes with you, Man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.